Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, in the midst of the Christmas season, celebrating the coming of our Lord, the birth of our Lord at Bethlehem, and having reflected much on his final coming at the end of time, we celebrate the solemnity of the Epiphany. Now some might look at that word and say, whoa, wow. One of those high up Greek words that we don't even know what it means. And it is a Greek word, and actually it's a compound word. It comes from two words, epi, which is over and above, and the rest of it is manifestation. The word means manifestation. We celebrate here the manifestation of our Lord, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, all other people who were not Jews, known as Gentiles in ancient days. And we see this is what is recounted to us now in these three magi. Now the magi, what the term really means here in ancient languages, both the Greek and the Hebrew, really means those who are wise, those who are philosophers. They were well-educated men, from which the word magic and those all its derivative words come from. They derive from that word. But these were not sorcerers. Right? They were not casting spells or telling fortunes or anything like that. They were simply very wise, very well-studied men who came from a country east of Jerusalem. And being well-educated, they understood the meaning of certain stars. They were evidently familiar with even Hebrew scripture. In fact, some of the fathers tell us that these three were actually descendants of Abraham, though they were not Jews. And they see a particular star that in and of itself, of course, the star, meaning light, the light that comes from a star, casts light, it was revealing something here, casting light. But it also, the way it casts light also signifies royalty. So they're understood when they saw this particular star, which evidently only they saw. No one else seems to have seen it, though they spoke of it when they arrived at Jerusalem. We have seen his star in the east, meaning from where they were, east of Jerusalem to the east. They saw his star, but nobody else seems to have seen it. They don't know what the star is. They don't seem to know. But the kings, these three wise men, knew and understood it meant through whatever Hebrew scriptures they understood, the birth of a king. Where is he, they ask, when they arrive in Jerusalem, born of the king of the Jews? Which is what, of course, then through Herod, put Herod in, troubled Herod and the people with him because they were afraid of what Herod was about to do next. He was very proud and very jealous of his kingdom, to the point that he actually killed two of his own sons to make sure nothing would happen, that they couldn't take his kingdom from him. So he was a very jealous king and very proud. And so Herod was troubled, a king of the Jews. And that's why he asks all the high priests, etc., to come. He has them come and he asks them, well, where then is this child to be born? And they quote the prophet Micah, who tells them, Bethlehem of Judea, Bethlehem. This is what is revealed by the star and to the three magi coming to adore this king. And they did not hesitate to say, so we have come to give him homage. Now Herod, of course, sends them on to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, go and search diligently for the child that I too may adore. Clearly he had no intention of adoring our Lord. But that is another episode that occurs after this one, what he does. But in any case, he sends them on. And when they go back out, the star appears again. It is leading them directly to the true King, the true Messiah, the Anointed One. And this is what is revealed to us today. That child in the manger in Bethlehem, while in appearance, yes, a man, and he is man, he is one of us, but he is also God. He is also our God. And this is why these three, who were not Jews, but must have had some familiarity with Hebrew scriptures, understood he was the true King. That's why they came to do him homage. And when they arrive at where our Lord was staying, note it also says they rejoiced with great rejoicing. They were, well, here it is translated, they were overjoyed. Again, the Greek words used here, or Aramaic, or Hebrew from St. Matthew, but they all mean essentially the same thing. They rejoice with exceeding joy. They are exceedingly joyful. The star has brought them to their goal, the true King, to whom they have come to adore. Now, adoration, what we call in theology latria, is that adoration, that's the homage due to God alone. So they understood he was God somehow. This was all revealed to them. And they did him homage. And then they give him their gifts, very significant gifts. Frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold representing our Lord's royalty, his King. Frankincense representing his priesthood, the one who offers the incense in worship. So they recognize his kingship and his priesthood. And the myrrh, which is a rather bitter herb, it was used for burial, actually. So this represents the burial of our Lord that was to take place after his passion and death. And so they recognize here the threefold role that our Lord has as the Messiah, the Anointed One. King, priest, prophet. Those are the three. This is what was revealed to them. And this is what they came to acknowledge. That this child, up to this point, it was known only to the Jews in the neighboring area. This child was now born the King, the true King. Not just King of the Jews. That, of course, it would take some time before everyone fully understood that, even his disciples. But not just King of the Jews, but King of all of us, because he is our God and Savior. And he became one of us. He is man. God and man. That is why this feast was, in the older liturgy, was a higher feast actually than Christmas. It had second place after Easter, precisely because we were celebrating this manifestation of our Lord to everyone, and that he was King to all of us, King, priest, and prophet to all of us. It reminds us that his humanity and his Godhead go together. The helpless little babe in the manger, the man who suffered and died on the cross for us, is also our God. He is that link between our finite humanity and the infinite Godhead. He is, in a word, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. And now where do they find the child? Where do the three magi find the child? with Mary, his mother. Again, we cannot stress enough, this child is Son of God, Son of Mary. Son of God, God divine, Son of Mary, man. An awesome mystery. Here now, revealed not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, to everyone. And then ultimately also, we also reflect on his baptism, in which his divinity was revealed once again as the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And we see the Holy Spirit coming down over his head, and the voice of the Father declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." And then thirdly, the wedding feast at Cana, at which our Lord worked his first public miracle. And note, at the intercession of Mary, his mother, the Queen Mother. You see, all of these come together and converge on this great feast, this great solemnity, where we recognize, as revealed to these three magi, wise men, and to all of us, our King, our Savior, our God, who has become one of us. And this is how he carries out then the redemption, our salvation. By nature being the Son of God, becoming also truly the Son of Mary. And there we too find him in the arms of his mother, Mary, whom he will give us as our mother. Let us then too run to find him, and let us too do him homage. Praise be Jesus and Mary.